Greetings in the name of Christ to all of you. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome this morning from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. I'd love to know that you're here watching the service today. So if you're watching it from the Methodistic website, just above this video, you will find a sign-in form. You just type your name and your location and hit the red button, and then we will know that you were here. In our service today, Reverend Andrew Sankey will be preaching as we celebrate All Saints Day, and his sermon is called Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. For those of you who have not already heard, it is with sadness that I have to tell you of the death of one of our local preachers. Brian Loader was a local preacher from Bramford Road Methodist Church, and he died a couple of weeks ago. In this service, we will also be breaking bread together on this, the first Sunday of the month. So I invite you to have a piece of bread or a biscuit and a drink of water or another beverage to hand. And pause the video now if you need to go and get it. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And please join me in our call to worship. It's based on Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, and your parts are on the screen in white. I will praise God in every moment and through every situation. Through my words and action, my life will pay tribute to Him. Whenever the poor and humble hear of His greatness, they will celebrate too. Come and lift up God's name with me. Let's praise His name together. So we come today to join and sing with all the saints in the countless hosts, praising God together. Alleluia. It's number 345 in Singing the Faith, for all the saints who from their labours rest.
For all the saints who from their labours rest, who thee by faith before the world confess. Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou wast their rock, their fortress and their might, our Lord, their captain, in the world for fight. Thou in the darkness, still their one true light. Alleluia, alleluia.
Blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia, alleluia. Father's close, through gates of pearl, streams in the countless host.
Singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us come before God now in prayer. Eternal God, our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, we have gathered in this time and at this place to worship you. In your time you created all things and wove into their fabric a yearning for fulfillment in you. Take these moments, O Lord of time and space, and complete them in us through your Holy Spirit. May our labour bring forth a new creation in you. We come before you now as generations of believers have done, with lives full of mistakes and plagued with temptation and sin, to ask for your forgiveness and grace. We do not always love as you would have us love. We do not always do as you would have us do. In our stubbornness, we turn from you when we should turn towards you. We praise you for the grace you shower on us, constantly forgiving our errors, especially the ones that we don't share with any but you. So hear now the silent fears and worries of our hearts. Have mercy on us, O God. In your name we have gathered and we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Though thousands upon thousands of our ancestors did not follow God's ways perfectly, we have a hope in the one who did. Jesus, a man of a particular people in a particular time, taught through words and deeds that God has already forgiven us. Thus we and all who have come before us are rightly known as saints, the holy ones of God. Thanks be to God for God's mercy, grace and love. Amen. So let us enter into a time of celebrating the saints together. We're surrounded by the Spirit of our holy God, encouraged by the saints who've gone before us and sustained by our faith community. So as we remember and celebrate those who've gone before us, we praise God for their lives, their wisdom and their courage. We rejoice that their faithfulness has paved the way for our lives to follow. So I'm going to light some candles, and after I light each one, we will say together, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God." So we remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We remember those that we have lost in this past year from our lives, knowing that they are with your heart forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We remember three local preachers from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit who died this year. Martin Ellis. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. Harry Chicken. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. Brian Loader. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We lift up to you, O God, our communal heartbreak and loss for those this year around the world who have lost their lives to COVID. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, siblings and cousins, sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, and beloved friends who have gone before us in our lifetime. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. For all the saints who went before us, who have spoken to our hearts and touched us with your fire, we praise you, O God. For all the saints who live beside us, whose weaknesses and strengths are woven with our own, we praise you, O God. For all the saints who live beyond us, who challenge us to change the world with them, we praise you, O God. And let us continue in song number 451 as we look forward to the time when we, together with all the saints, will see Jesus high and lifted up, shining in the light of God's glory. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord.
My heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart.
Our scripture today is Dawn Bone. She's one of our circuit lay employees and she's working with the Felixstowe churches.
Revelation 7, 9, verses 9 to 17. The great multitude in white robes. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory, and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye.
And our second scripture today comes from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure.
This year, All Saints' Day falls on a Sunday. It's a custom that comes from the Roman Catholic Church, but was kept by the Protestants after the Reformation, although the focus changed. Not just focusing on the saints made saints by the Catholic Church, but remembering any church members who had died in the past year. Indeed, that is still very much in keeping with the New Testament understanding of the word hagios, translated as saints in the King James, but more recent translations has the Lord's people, or believers, or Christians, and holy people. The Apostle Paul himself addressed people in his letters as the saints in, and he gave the place, like, say, Ephesus. most of my church members would feel a little uncomfortable if I kept calling them saints. Tell me if I'm wrong. I certainly feel a little uncomfortable being addressed as a saint myself, as I know I fall short of the mark. We tend to think of a saint with a halo around his or her head and probably too otherworldly, looking down at us with a holier-than-thou judgmental attitude. In one of the scenes of The Lion King, two hyenas are talking about the king of the jungle, Mufasa. For one of the hyenas, every time the name Mufasa is mentioned, it sends a shiver down her spine. The words saints and holiness have the same effect on many of us today. It reminds us of our failure to make the standard, and it seems almost impossible to get there. At least today, remembering loved ones we have known who have died in this past year gives us a more realistic understanding of saints, as we know that none of them were perfect. They were human like us, and even though we may not know their specific failures, if we say they were without sin, according to John in his letter, we make him, that is God, out to be a liar. It's good to take a moment to remember their lives, and I hope that for most of you there will be happy memories of your loved ones. But I suspect that for some of us, remembering loved ones this year will be especially difficult, as we may not have been able to visit them in their last days, or been with them when they died. Also, the funerals that have been conducted have fallen short of what we would have liked to do to give tribute to their lives. Joan will have had a candle lit in remembrance of loved ones, as I do here on the table beside me. If All Saints is about looking back at the lives of those that have gone before, that's yesterday. But the appointed readings for All Saints Day are more for the present today and for the future, and catching a glimpse of what heaven is like forever. A glimpse where our loved ones who died in the Lord are. The passage from the book of Revelation paints a beautiful picture of a multitude of people praising God and worshipping him. If we were not able to sing at our loved one's funeral, there is much singing in heaven. Our loved ones won't be missing out like we are. For me, our traditional opening hymn for all the saints who from their labours rest took me back to when I was a boy, I think aged 12, at the Royal Albert Hall in London, when the great organ played that bottom G and the walls seemed to vibrate and 5,000 people joined in on the next magnificent chord singing for all the saints who from their labours rest. It was a valedictory service for Methodist missionaries coming and going overseas and those who died serving the church overseas. It left an indelible mark on my life. 5,000 people singing with joy, and some truly saints who were giving selfless service, sometimes in difficult places. Perhaps the seeds of my call to serve as a mission partner that came 18 years later. For all the saints who from their labours rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They were proclaiming their faith to the world, and there was great praises in doing that. Continuing back to the book of Revelation, there is a reminder that salvation is God's gift to us. Verse 10 of chapter 7, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We don't earn it by what we do. There is a reminder also of the ministry of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Like a lamb led to its slaughter, now Jesus, the Lamb, is on the throne. There is a reminder in these words, again in verse 9, of the inclusiveness of the multitude, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne. There's a reminder that they've been made pure, their robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. The elder says, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is a reminder of the pastoral care of Jesus, a shepherd caring for his flock and wiping away every tear from their eyes. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a beautiful picture. No wonder Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain," which was the message I shared last time I was preaching at a circuit digital service. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Back in this passage from the book of Revelation, John is seen to be ecstatic. John gets even more excited by the time he gets to chapter 3 of his letter. In verse 3 he says, in verse 1 he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And I can now begin to visualise John jumping up and down and shouting, "And that is what we are! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark." For John, it's not God grudgingly loving us through gritted teeth. He lavishes love on us, not once or twice, but countless times. He's a generous God in every way possible. Other places where that comes out in Ephesians, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 8, says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Back to his letter, John goes on to say in verse 2, that the world doesn't get it because they don't know God, and so they're not ecstatic like John and like me. Then John goes on, certain that we are children of God, says what we will be has not yet been made known. Perhaps that's a little bit of an anticlimax. We'd love to know what we will be. Then to make it worse, he introduces a but, always a bit disappointing. But this is not a negative but. But we know, as John is often saying, the things that we can know. We know when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. What an amazing thing. We shall be like him. He says we don't know what we will be, but here he's saying we will be like Jesus. We already know from chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Every time we confess our sins, we are made pure from all unrighteousness. But we're human, and it's not long before we sin again and we repeat the process, growing in holiness until that day when we get to heaven and we are like Christ. The best definition that I've seen of the word holiness comes from Dr. Ruth Etchells, who, amongst other things, was the principal of St. John's College, Durham. She died just 8 years ago, aged 81. And she wrote this: "Holiness is actually the shining dazzle of profoundest divine love, exchanged continually within the Trinity and poured out for creation in all its forms for our deepest and most joyful good." Wow. A shining dazzle, the divine love poured out continually for us, for our deepest and most joyful good. It's not us striving, it's allowing Jesus to continue that work of transformation in us. And so our title for today was Yesterday, Today and Forever. And that's quoted by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A moment of quiet. Thank you for the beautiful picture of heaven. Thank you for our memories of loved ones who have died. Thank you for your abundant grace you make available to us. Help us to walk in the light with Jesus. May we allow Jesus to continue that work of transformation in us by his Spirit. May we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him. And a blessing from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, for your message to us, giving thanks that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and constantly transforming us to be more like him. Now, hopefully, you have some bread or biscuit and some water or a drink close by you. As we come to this time of sharing together, we cannot have communion over this video, but we can break bread together. So Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." So feel the power of the risen Christ with you. Right now. Here in my hands is God's story of love for you all. In the book of Hebrews, we read, "So then, with endurance, let us also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and sat down at the right side of God's throne." So remember the stories of God's love for you and all the saints that can sustain you wherever you are. I invite you now to pick up your glass of water. Without water, there can be no life. We were baptized by water and the Spirit into God's family. Water reminds us of the gifts of creation that God has so abundantly given us and of the love and grace that we've all received. In Revelation 21, we are told, "Behold, there is a new heaven, a new earth and a new city where the river of life flows, where the tree of life bears fruit in every season." This heaven, this city, this river, this tree are a vision of your life reborn, restored and renewed. So drink the water slowly. Feel it flow into your body. Know that God's love is flowing into your body and soul right now. And take your piece of bread into your hands. John wrote in his gospel, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So eat the bread that you have here today. May it be God's gift for you and remind you of God's provision for us physically and spiritually. Remember also the times you've received the bread of life in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remember the saints who gathered with you. Remember the presence of Christ in that moment. Be assured that Christ is with you in every moment of your life. Amen. Let us pray now for the world and all the saints. O God, in whose hands are life, death, and eternal life, we thank you for all the saints, all those who have been baptized in the Spirit and whom you've justified by grace and faith. We rejoice that their faithfulness has paved the way for our lives to follow. Thank you for the small and large saints who have given us love and care and challenge. Though the world has been gripped by trouble since early days, you've given us a vision of a day beyond the terrors, a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. As we wait, there are those among us who are in deep need of your peace, of your healing touch, of your just and bounteous kingdom. We pray for those who are lonely. We hope in the promise that God will dwell with us. We pray for those who are crying, the sad, the depressed, and the anxious. We hope in the promise that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. We pray for those who are experiencing the consequences of death, the bereaved, and those who are mourning. We hope in the promise that death and mourning will be no more. We pray for those who are in pain, suffering from illness, either physical or mental. We hope in the promise that crying and pain will be no more. We pray for those who are thirsty for truth, love, and grace, those who seek God with earnest hearts. We hope in the promise that God will give water to the thirsty without cost from the spring of the water of life. And we pray for the other concerns that are on our hearts. This week, we especially lift up those who are affected by the rising COVID numbers, those who have caught the coronavirus, those who are nursing them back to health. Especially pray for those living in the higher risk areas, that you will be with them and us and keep us safe. And we pray for this week for the United States, with the election that is going to occur. We pray for peace and for a decisive result. We pray in the name of your Son, who's gone ahead of us into your new future and who beckons us to follow as we say the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank those who participated in our worship service today. Andrew, for the sermon, Dawn, for reading scripture, the Felixstowe Band, for some of our music, and also to Neil and Elizabeth and Adrian for the rest of the music. Thank you to all of them. Next week, I'm going to be preaching as we mark Remembrance Sunday. We will listen to Jesus' parable of the 10 bridesmaids, half of whom did not take any oil with them as they waited for the bridegroom. So we come now for the time in our service when we offer ourselves to God, our time, our talents, and our treasure. I encourage you at this point to give to the work of your local church and the work that that church is doing in Christ's name in the world. So let us pray over your offering. Bless these gifts, O Lord. These gifts we bring are but a token of our thanks, seeds to be planted for the growing of your kingdom, in which we have sure and certain hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate with the saints and look forward together to tomorrow, let's trust in God's unfailing grace and lift our eyes to the King. Let his song rise within us as a fragrant offering. Let's listen or sing, hear the call of the kingdom. Number 407.
Hear the call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light, with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right, that the life of Christ may shine through us. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with the Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in him. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Salvation in Jesus' name.
Saints of God, go from here rejoicing with the great cloud of witnesses and trusting in Christ our Saviour. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's saints say, Amen.